Yes, happy Mother's Day. Someone asked me this week, do Christians have Mother's Day? Is Mother's Day in the Bible? Good question. Mother's Day itself is not in the Bible, but what started Mother's Day is in the Bible, very much. The book on wisdom, the book of Proverbs, written by numerous people, but the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, wrote much of it. The book on wisdom ends with a poem to the virtuous wife, to a capable wife, depending on your translation. And so what we're looking at today is the idea of more precious than jewels. More precious than jewels. And I would definitely share that. My mother is far more precious than jewels or anything else I can think of, maybe save my own wife. What would a man give for the one who has given everything to provide for him or her? What would someone give? We see our world chasing after all sorts of things, and yet we see how crucial family is in God's plan. And so, more precious than jewels. Please turn to Proverbs 31, and I'll start reading at verse 10. So Proverbs 31, and I'll read from 10 through the end of the chapter. So this is the end of the book of Proverbs. And it finishes with, who can find a capable wife? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed, or other versions say are clothed in scarlet. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor. Let her works praise her at the city gates. So a beautiful poem. And in Hebrew, this is an acrostic poem. So each line begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's a couple of those type acrostic poems in the scripture. And this is one of them. Different versions translate this first word, the whole point of this, the capable wife, Holman Christian Standard says, and that is a good translation, but I find it seems weak. In our world, that is what the word means, but other versions use virtuous, King James, and maybe that's a better one. The excellent wife, Some other versions say, or the wife of noble character. This word, virtuous or capable, is used many times. Most of the time in the Bible, it's used for might or strength or power or someone who is able or valiant, virtuous. It's used of an elite warrior. David had some of his mighty men of valor. Valor, that's the word. They were skillful at their task, and he put them in charge of protecting his life, made them his bodyguard. So this is the same word. It's the word that Boaz uses for Ruth when Ruth expresses that she would be willing to have him redeem her. Long story, beautiful story. Read the book of Ruth. And Boaz says, everyone in town knows you are a capable woman, a virtuous woman. So that is this word. So as we read this, I'm sure there's many, many things, and maybe part of why it's so long and has so many different, you know, ideas and kind of repeats some of the ideas is because it is an acrostic poem, and that's fine. But in English, it still communicates very clearly a number of things. And so I want to highlight three main areas that I see in this. First of all, the most obvious thing that strikes at least me, and I think most people as they read this, is this woman's diligence, her industriousness, her skill at her work. As the Apostle Paul describes it in Titus chapter 2, she is a homemaker. She makes her home. And she is very skillful and industrious about that. So we see that in just numerous ways, and I'll just rattle off a few of these. In verse 13, she works with wool and flax. And anybody else work with wool? I guess if you crochet, maybe. Anyways, wool and flax. But it goes on in verse 13, she works with willing hands. So it's not just what she's doing, it's her heart in doing it. She works with willing hands. So she is happy to be diligent, industrious. She appears to enjoy hard work. She's learned to enjoy that and to do well at it. Verse 16, she evaluates a field and buys it. And she plants a vineyard. And so we oftentimes there's a lot of criticism about the Bible these days, especially about the status of women, the role of women, and they often mix what we see in other ancient societies or other current societies based on ancient religions. They confuse that with what the Bible says. No, this is a woman who she can own property with her husband, and she can go and buy it. And in this setting, it says she goes and evaluates the field, buys it, plants the vineyard. Verse 18, the second half says that her lamp never goes out at night. So we see she's working into the night. Verse 19, she makes her own cloth with spinning, and I don't know anybody who does that. I have seen it done, like a Living History Farm, but you know that's what she was doing. And verse 24, she makes and sells garments, and she sells belts. It lists so many things, I think partly to remind us of how much a mother, a wife, does. I also think it lists so many things partly to give ideas of what women can do, of all sorts of different ways that they can serve and support their home. Now, it's not saying that you have to do them all, and so we need to understand that. But it is getting across the idea that a woman doesn't have to enslave herself to a company, enslave herself to some other employer to get a paycheck to be of value, or to even add to the bottom line of her home. What we see is she is making material contributions to her home. And It's interesting, you know, the government can't tax this. Government taxes all wages when you get paid, but when you save money, when you do stuff for yourself, the government hadn't figured out really how to tax that yet. And so I think that's part of why socialists, progressives seem so against this, is they can't get their money from this. She is industrious. Now, why does she make and sell linen garments? Why does she make belts? Because she can't. Because she started doing this for herself. She became skilled at it, and people were like, you could sell those. And the merchants, this is better than what I get anywhere else. Yeah, I'll buy those. Because she has excelled. She has applied the skill that she's made, that she has developed, to things that spring from her home. She started making them for herself. Now, I've met many ladies that as they read this, they say, oh, this sounds exhausting. You know, she's up at night and up before it gets light in the morning. But we need to remember, this is an overview of a woman's life. It's all the different types of things that a woman might end up doing through the course of her life. It's not like she does every one of these things every day by any stretch. And this is not a young woman, okay? This is not a mom with preschoolers at home or a baby, nursing baby or anything. At the end, remember in verse 28, it says her sons rise up and call her blessed. So they're old enough to recognize how precious she is. They're certainly, at this point, adults. Her husband, in verse 23, is an elder serving there at the city gate. So what we're seeing is kind of an overview of a woman's life, of this virtuous woman's life, and certainly including her later years in her life, when she's already built her home almost into her little empire with her husband. And so all of her industriousness, her diligence, leads to a confidence. Not improper, but a proper confidence. And we can see that in a few places. In verse 25, it says that she can laugh at the days to come. In verse 21, it says that she's not afraid when it snows. In other words, she, because of her diligence, she's got that all covered. She's already taken care of it. She's been proactive. She already did everything before the winter came. So when it's winter, okay, yep, here come out the winter clothes. Yep, made those last year for you, or over the summer, whatever. So she has that confidence from having gotten her work done. When I remember taking exams, you know, and you're having us pray for your students. Some students come in going, they're probably not the ones who study. But if you study, it's like, yeah, give me that exam. I'm ready to go. And that's what this woman is. She's taken care of it. She's done everything she needed to do to where she has confidence. And she's so capable, her husband trusts her completely. Verse 11, he didn't have to oversee stuff in the home because she has proven her skill, her confidence, her love for him. So the first thing we see is her diligence. The second thing that we see is this is not just about ability, but it is about selfless service. Selfless service. She's not just doing this all just for herself. She's doing it for others. And so we see this in many places. Verse 15 says that she rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. So she's taking care of everybody else. And I don't know what your home was like. That was my home. My growing up, mom had everything taken care of. And she had allotted the food and you know, taken care of the assignments. And I think that's part of what this verse, it says portions for her female servants. So clearly she's not just real young. There are some other servant girls in the household that she oversees. And she assigns portions for her female servants. So either she is taking care of them and is a good employer, or it's another way you could translate it is that she has set out their assignments. So she's got the chart. She's got it all figured out. Okay, you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing that. And I'm sure she did that with her own kids when they were young, training them how to work and how to contribute to the family. So she is taking care and managing everyone. In verse 12, it says that she rewards her husband. It says she rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. Probably even when he may not deserve it. But the point is, she is constant. She is faithful. And to the point where he just totally trusts her. She rewards him with good, doing what is best for him. Verse 20, we see it's not just her household. She even cares about the poor. She cares about the needy, the other people in her city. And so verse 20, her hand reaches out to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. She's managed her household so well she can have to be able to give to others and to help others. Verse 21, it says that she's clothed her household, as we mentioned before. Now, doesn't worry when it snows because she has taken care of them. Verse 27, another way it says that she watches over the activities of her household. And so she is managing her home. She's not just looking out for herself, she's watching out over everyone else, serving them. So she manages the activities of her household. She's not absent. She's there. She's on top of everything. She's not too busy with a career. No, this is her career. She's made her home her career, her calling, her ministry, her joy. She's working with willing hands. So she's managing her home so that in verse 23, her husband can be off serving the city as an elder in the city gates. Yes, the husband has the responsibility from Scripture, from creation, from the first chapters of Genesis. He has the responsibility to provide for his wife and his family. But this wife has made the most of it. She has helped it multiply and managed it well. And because of this, she is held in high esteem. Everything that she does here is for her household. It's based out of her home. She's selfless in how she serves. But the third thing I want us to see here is really the most remarkable thing about her. And it is the source for everything else that we see. And that is verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord will be praised. A woman who fears the Lord. And that's the phrase here. And sometimes people today, you know, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Is she afraid of God? She's afraid to be punished, as we all should be. But more, it's having that proper respect, having that heart for God. It's often the catchphrase for she has that spiritual life. It's more than what she does, it's who she is. And so this just comes out of her life. Her heart for God, her trust in God, her reliance on Him, her obedience to His Word. This guides all that she is and all that she does. She fears the Lord. And we see that again, in her selflessness. We see that as she extends her hands to the needy. And then in verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. So, opens her mouth with wisdom. She has internalized this fear of the Lord, and to the point where this has changed her whole way of thinking. In Proverbs, wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. So we need, it all fits together. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, and there's at least three places where this idea is recorded here, but in the book of Proverbs, but chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the only way she can open her mouth with wisdom is to have that fear of the Lord. Have that heart for God, that passion for Him, and to put His word into her life and into the life of her family. So, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 33, it says, the fear of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. And so she has demonstrated that humility. And so because of that, we see the honor that she gets. So she's internalized this fear of the Lord. It guides her. It comes out of her life. And again, in verse 26, the second half, and loving instruction is on her tongue. Again, this is selfless. This is doing what is best for others. This instruction to her children when they were young, when they're old, maybe to the needy. She's helping them with material things, but she also is helping them with wisdom. As she teaches her servant girls or whomever, we see that loving instruction. Not just harsh and commanding, but somebody who's a joy to be around. Someone who you would want to work for her. Well, loving instruction. See, she gets her identity from God. That's what the fear of the Lord means. That is where she gets her identity. And we see this especially in verse 30, where it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. So she doesn't rely on outward beauty. Now, she clearly does make the most of what she has. Verse 22, it says she clearly understands style and beauty, but she doesn't rely on that for her beauty. She lets the fear of the Lord, her heart for God, make her who she is, make her valuable. No, she's not an idle beauty queen who can't get her hands dirty. No, she's been involved in everything and working, and to the point where verse 17 says her arms are strong and because of her work. Peter captures this idea well in 1 Peter chapter 3, where he says, it talks to a wife, it says that her beauty should not come from outward adornment, but consists of what is inside the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. So that's how Peter explained what we're seeing here, that her confidence is in God. Her identity comes from God. She doesn't have to worry that, well, I'm getting old, I'm wrinkled, maybe my husband won't be as interested in me. No. She knows that a heart for God goes beyond age or beyond the physical beauty that fades. We all get older. That's the way it goes. And yes, young men are drawn to charm and physical beauty, and that can be deceptive and it can be fleeting. And what's the phrase? Beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clean to the bone. Unfortunately, that's true. But this is a woman who her beauty comes from within. And so that is what comes out. So yes, young men may be attracted to charm or physical beauty, but the fear of the Lord is attractive at any age. And so this is where any young lady needs to start as she's seeking to become this kind of a virtuous woman. You start with a fear of the Lord. You start with making Christ your Lord and following Him and learning how to be selfless in serving and learning how to make the most of everything He's entrusted to you and learning your confidence in Him and learning your identity in Him. This is where it all starts. The fear of the Lord. So because of these things, because of her diligence, her selfless service, because of the fear of the Lord that is her character, we're commanded to praise her. And I love how this ends. We see this in verse 29. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. I wonder where they got that. Probably from the next line. Her husband also praises her and says, many women are capable, virtuous, but you surpass them all. That selfless service may not always pay off immediately, but it is worthy of praise. And so her sons praise her, her husband, of course, praises her, and this poem recorded in Holy Scripture, closing out this book on wisdom, praises her. We are commanded to praise her. So don't believe the modern critics of the Bible who say the status of woman is low. No, they haven't read it. They haven't understood what this is saying as it starts, she's worth far more than jewels. You almost could say she is a rare find. And he recognizes that. And this passage says, give her that praise. So it finishes that in verse 30. The woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Verse 31, give her the reward of her labor. Let her works praise her at the city gate. So everyone in the community recognizes who she is, that character of a heart for God, that fear of the Lord, and praises her and recognizes her value and worth. So, are we commanded to keep Mother's Day? No. But are we commanded to honor mother? Yeah, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and your father and mother. We're commanded here to praise a woman who fears the Lord. We're commanded to praise her work and reward her for her labor. Now, as I was preparing this, I kind of was thinking, how do I put this? I kind of have to ask, is there room for this kind of woman in our society today? Is there room for her in our Western educated feminist society? They may not say so. Are there many who are raising their girls to aspire to this? I hear a lot about raising girls. We want to, have examples for them. I don't hear our society encouraging this lifestyle as an example, but the Scripture certainly does. And I can tell you, I've talked to a lot of young men, a lot of young Christian men, and they are all looking for this rare jewel. They are looking for this kind of a wife who will have that fear of the Lord, serve selflessly, and serve with skill and diligence. Well, a day to be able to give mom the reward that she is due, one day, but it's far more than one day. It needs to be all of our life, that we reward her labor and we praise her works and we tell her how much we love her. Well, let's join together as we pray. Lord, we do thank you for the mothers that you have given us. Many of us learned about you from the mouth of our mothers, as loving instruction was on their tongues, teaching us your word, teaching us about you, teaching us to trust in you, to bring our requests to you, our concerns. And we thank you. And Lord, we pray that you would bless in this day, in this challenging day where society, so many people can't even seem to give a definition of what a woman is. And yet we see the value that you place on each who love you and serve you and serve their families. And so, Father, we rejoice in all that you are doing. And we pray that if there are any who are here today, I know this sermon hasn't been about salvation, but we pray that if there are any who have not found that fear of the Lord, not started by committing their lives to you, I pray that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to yourself, that they would hear your word and know who you are and know what you have done in Christ Jesus in saving us in a way we could never provide for ourselves. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your whole plan of salvation and your plan of a life lived, doing our role, doing our task that you have given to us. And so, Father, may we thank those who have poured into our lives, our mothers especially today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.